Cascade and Deadmau5 play their first show at the new SoFi Stadium in LA. People in Ibiza are calling for the end of illegal underground parties. Plus, our thoughts on new music from the likes of Swedish House Mafia, Rufus Du Sol, Nightmare and Rusko, all of this and so much more on episode 108 of Beyond the Beats, a podcast about EDM news and culture. Let's get it. Let's get it indeed. EDM champions, welcome to episode 108 of Beyond the Beats. It is so great to be here with you all right now. I mean, like Alec had said, we have so much to talk about in this episode. It's insane. Like, I never thought we'd be up in here on Beyond the Beats talking about brand new Swedish House Mafia music.
Never, man. I never thought it. It's crazy, isn't it?
I'm so excited to get into it with you, my brother. But first, before we go that way, all right, I want to chill everybody out a little bit. Let me tell you why, okay? I just spent a beautiful weekend in Mexico. I was in Ensenada in Baja California. And dude, as we were driving through the state of Baja California after crossing the border, okay, we took the Route 1 to Ensenada, an absolutely gorgeous road that was winding all along the cliffs. I mean, that ocean looked beautiful. The sun shining and shimmering, the palm trees. The whole landscape just looked absolutely amazing. And one of the songs that really set the vibe perfectly for that trip for me and some of my friends was this song right here. It's Baker Matt's song, Baiana. Take a listen.
Man, getting in the right frame of mind for a trip like this. This is an absolutely wonderful track, and I'm sure it was just heightened with your trip down to beautiful Baja California, which, by the way, I have not visited yet. So I know we talked a bit off air about this, but I certainly want to be making a trip to what was the place?
Ensenada.
Perfect. Absolutely. That is a place that I need to go to just from the experiences you described to me, man. It just sounds like a great place to go if you want to unwind and enjoy life.
Absolutely, brother. Unwind and enjoy life is the perfect way to put that. Good drinks, good food, good music, great people. Had so much fun over there, meeting some new people, and an amazing wine country to boot. So absolutely loved my time out there, Alec. But you know what else I love, brother? I love where you're about to take us, man. I love what we're about to get into on this podcast, because we are here. Episode 108. Give it to me, baby. Let's go.
EDM champions, what the fuck is going on? We've got Swedish House Mafia back in the house. Can you believe it, man? I mean, we thought, and I will say, maybe we were wrong for calling this too early, but we thought they were done. D-O-N-E.
Yeah.
Fucking done. That's what we thought. But they are back. You know, we'll talk a bit more about what this means and like what we can expect for them. But this song is a new one that they've just dropped Monday as of this recording. So at the top of this week, it's Swedish House Mafia, Ty Dolla $ign, 070 Shake, with a track called Lifetime. Take a listen.
Before we dive into the Swedish House Mafia stuff, man, I just want to say I love to see Ty Dolla $ign in all of these EDM tracks. I think it's really, really cool. I mean, he's released tracks with Skrillex, and he did a remix of Tiësto's The Business, and now he's bringing his voice, which I absolutely love, to Swedish House Mafia. And this is a really cool song, because I really thought that both 070 Shake and Ty Dolla $ign. They sounded really great, but one thing that I really, really appreciate about this track is that perfectly tuned percussion, which I thought was just expertly laid out, really carried nicely throughout this whole song in conjunction with their voices. And that's a very hard balance to achieve. And I think Sweet Shots Mafia, Ty Dolla $ign, 070 Shake, all five of them really found an amazing balance of all their talents. What did you think?
You know, man, I want to like it more than I do. I think it's a good song. I really like the incorporation of 070 Shake. I mean, they seem to really bring a very nice way of the indie pop vibe too, kind of like an indie EDM type of track as well. And a Ty Dolla $ign thought, I thought he did a good job, and the percussion, right, as you have mentioned, man, was really, really spot on. But it was just kind of lacking a little bit of flair for me. You know what I mean? And that might just be because it's been so long since Swedish House Mafia have come out with some music. I'm expecting a little bit more from them. Whereas this kind of felt like it was a typical radio song they're putting out there. So again, it's very solid. There's nothing wrong with the song. And it's not that I dislike it, but I just want a bit more from them. Maybe it's a bit harsh, but I just wish they could have pushed the envelope a little bit more of this track.
I really appreciate that honesty, bro. That's what it's all about here on Beyond the Beats, man. Let's get honest about this next track that we're talking about. What are we doing? Where are we going? Tell me.
Well, I know you're ready to be honest about this, but we've got Nightmare teaming up with Young Pinch. These names just fucking get me, man. Young everything, little everything, isn't it? So Nightmare, Young Pinch teamed up for a song called Scars. Take a listen.
Thanks for that intro, Young Vibe King. Let me get into this track right here, brother. All right. This song kept me feeling so frustrated, and I'll tell you why.
Really?
Yeah.
All right. Let's see.
Dude, in the first 65% of this track, there was just like no Nightmare at all. So it's like, what the hell am I even listening to this for right now? You know, as an EDM fan, like, what am I listening to this for, right? I thought Young Pinch sounded fine. You know, I've heard voices like his before with the same sort of themes and motifs. Like, you know, I'm like, whatever on that shit, dude. And to be fair, what Nightmare did in the second drop, that's where he actually came in, and that's what the EDM champions just heard. What he did in the second drop of this song is nothing noteworthy either. So overall, just a very bland song for me, Alec. What did you think, bro? Let's hear it.
You know, I saw on Twitter that there's some people who are really enjoying this song.
Nice.
And, you know, I'm a little bit confused as to why. I'm not entirely sure. Because I agree with you. It's a bit fucking bland. Like, come on. We know Nightmare is an incredible producer, and I've never heard of Young Pinch before, but I'm sure, you know, sure he's pretty good. But it just came across kind of like to me.
Yeah.
You know? And look, maybe I'm not the, or maybe we aren't the best people to be judging this, since we are not, you know, hip hop connoisseurs.
Right.
And perhaps this is something that's going to push the needle for a lot of people. But for someone, and just from the perspective of being in EDM and being a connoisseur of EDM, when we see people cross over and start working with hip hop, you know, artists or just anyone from different genres, I really want to see them pushing the envelope on things and making things that are creative and just showing their production skills off, which I feel wasn't really done with this track. Like, the production skills was not, he's got them, but they weren't on display in this song.
Exactly. You know where he really showed off, man? Man's First Inhibition, that track that he did with Zoo.
Fire.
Let's see some more of that shit, dude.
More of that, please, and thank you. But I want to see if you want some more of this, man. I want to see if you want some more of it, because we've got Rusko, or I think it's Rusko. You know, I've never learned the pronunciation of his name. It's Rusko, Rusko. I should know this, being a Brit. I have no idea why I don't know this.
I think it's Rusko. You got it.
Oh, we'll go with Rusko, yeah. That's embarrassing. Anyway, EDM champions, forgive me for that, but Rusko came out with a brand new track called Map 19.
Dude, I gotta say, like, I just never thought I would hear, like, these sorts of sounds kind of come together in one track. You know, you got those, like, reggae-style MC vocals. And I know we get that in live settings. I'm not an idiot. Like, I know, you know, we hear a lot of that in live settings.
Fucking moron.
I get that. But I'm talking more like on a record, on a recorded track. So you got these reggae style MC vocals with some drum and bass.
Still an idiot.
I know. And it's beyond dope. It is such a fun listening experience. Like, you know, in your headphones, in the car, whatever. Super danceable track that gets you hyped with the lads. And what I love is that it keeps moving. It's nonstop, dude. Everything is thrown at you, but in a very cohesive way. And I love that. You're never given a break. And I want more of that. What did you think?
You know, I'm sorry, EDM champions. I apologize for educating this man, because this is stuff that is on drum and bass tracks. Just maybe not as more as usual or what you see over in North America.
It could be my exposure, yeah.
It could be the exposure. But and to be fair, in general, that is definitely a little bit more of an old school thing, just as having the reggae with dubstep,
yeah,
right, was a little bit more traditional old school. So I totally understand you there. I'm kind of busting your balls a little bit here. Because you're not an idiot at all, my friend, for liking this track. It just saved you from being a classified moron to someone that has good taste. Because you know what? This is a banging track, man. It keeps you moving. The beats keep moving and it keeps you dancing. I absolutely love it, man. And just again, the reggae MC infusion just turns this up a notch, right? Just turns it up a notch from something like a cayenne pepper to a ghost pepper flavor. So absolutely loving this track.
Dude, thank you so much for that comparison. But hold on. One last track for the new music section. Really big release that I'm afraid got a little bit buried as we were talking about all the Swedish House Mafia stuff. But let's not forget, Tiesto. He has his own side project called Vera West, brand new track called Elements of a New Life.
Did we ever figure out where the name The West came from?
I believe it comes from his last name.
I probably should have looked into that before asking you. But thank you, Smith, for educating me on that, because I thought this was good. It was good again, though. I feel like maybe this is just me this week or today. Just feel a bit crotchety. I don't know. But I felt like it was good at, you know, the everything there was sound, right? Everything was produced very well. But it just missed that kind of flair that made me really want to be turning this song on again and again and again. You know what I mean? Like, I think this is very solid in sets to be mixing in. Kind of, you know, in an hour-long set, you got to put in some songs in there to keep the mood going. And I think this is a song that accomplishes that. But as a standalone single, I'm not entirely sure whether I would be wanting to put this on in the car while I'm taking a long drive, or, you know, on my headphones as I commute my way to work or something like that. I'm just not sure if it really pushes me to sit down and say I want to really listen to this again and again. What about you, man?
Dude, so interesting that you say that, because I'm kind of in agreement with you as well. But I will say, out of all his Vera West releases, this is probably one of my favorite ones, because I think the progression here... I feel like the progression
is very nicely done.
Exactly. Exactly. And what I mean by progression is that from like the point that you are at the beginning of the track to the place that you end up at the end, it is very nicely sort of laid out and taking, you really feel like you're taking on a journey. And I think Tiesto did a really good job with this release as compared to some of his previous releases. However, I still do feel like, and I know this is an alias, but I really just feel like, I don't know, man. There's not enough in this sound of this project to get me really excited. Like, it's nice to listen to, but it's not that exciting. But, dude, let's talk about this next section. Because I know we're going to be playing these tracks a bunch all the time. Where are we going? Let's go.
New music from Artists We're Watching, baby. And we've actually got a double header, double hitter here in one song. Phantom Freak, You Knew. They teamed up for a track called Chance. Take a listen.
Let's talk about synergy right here with this
track. That's
the
drink, champions. That's the drink right
there. That's a drink. And we're going to get into what we're drinking in just a little bit. But, dude, you got that synergy between these two artists, and I love it. And I love to see artists that we're watching team up. It's like, it just gives me so much joy. And I'm really stoked to see them team up again, because they are a collaboration made in heaven, dude. Like, a bass house stomper that needs to be played at like a dark club or warehouse. And Alec, I believe you were telling me that Phantom Freak, he loves to like take like old horror movies, right?
Yes,
and like sample them in his tracks. I remember that because that really stood out to me, and that stood out to me on this track here as well. So I'd really love to see that trend sort of continuing. And let me just say, you knew, hearing him play live, such a treat. He was in San Diego recently, absolutely murdered his set. I can't wait to catch him live again. He is an upstanding dude.
Wonderful guy.
Let's talk about this last track in this section. Oh, I'm so excited. Schuster, brand new song called Oracles. Let's give it a play.
So this might need to be another drink that's added to our checklist here, depending on how many more times I use it. But the soundscape, man, it's all about the soundscape. And I think I originally got that word from you, so shout out to you, man. Very nice word. Yeah, now, fuck you, I'm now saying words like you. God, we spend too much time together and talk too much together.
It's true.
We really do. It's very bad. But I mean, you know what's not bad, man? This song. It's just, it is so, so solid, and just, it's immersive. You know, when you listen to any just a track, doesn't matter what it is, you are going to be just thrown in to the world that he's creating. I mean, he's a world builder, right? We usually associate those terms with people who are directors or, you know, producers of film or authors. And I think it's just the highest of compliments to say that about an artist, a musician. If they can create kind of a world and a universe just through the songs that you're listening through Spotify or wherever have you, then they're doing an amazing job. And I think Schuster is really at the forefront of doing that.
Dude, love hearing those words come from you, man. Really big fan of this. I love Schuster. You all need to get tapped into what he is up to. Speaking of getting tapped in, Alec, how do people get tapped in with us? Let's hear it.
Well, you got our website. That's where you can find our show notes. That's www.beyondthebeats.co. Navigate over to the show notes menu in 2021, and you'll find the show notes with all of the playlists, the links to the songs, and the articles that we will be talking about right there on that page. And you could also reach out to us on Instagram. We're at btb.pod, on Twitter at podbtb, on Facebook it's at Beyond the Beats Podcast.
Let's go. Love it, dude. Love it. Before we dive into the news and culture section, Alec, I see you over there having a couple sips. What are you drinking right now, man? What's going on over there?
Well, I've switched to water because I'm supposed to go out for a nice sunset walk in a bit. So I was having water, but with my grandparents, because I'm currently up in northern Michigan, beautiful Petoskey area. They're big vodka drinkers. So I had a glass of vodka. When I say glass, they just drink it straight. Like, they just have some ice cubes in there and they're drinking it straight. So I tried to do so, but I found that I haven't acquired quite the taste yet that they have. So I had a glass and I'm like, okay, gonna chill back on some H2O. How about you, my friend?
But before we move on to what I'm drinking, because I'm just drinking boring old water, I've had quite the weekend, I need to rehydrate myself right now. But am I understanding correctly? This is straight vodka, no flavors, just vodka.
Correct.
You are a mad lad, okay? You're a mad lad. That's disgusting.
Not. My grandparents, it's like, I tried it and I'm like, I can't do it. I have to put a little bit of club soda in, you know, a little bit of lime in there as well. You know, that you know, makes it a little bit more tasty, more refreshing. But they just have straight, maybe like a dash at the most of water with their vodka.
The whole Prieto family, just straight up savages over there. I love to see it. I love to see it, dude. Alec, let's move into this news and culture stuff because we got a lot to talk about.
We really do. And there's no other way. And I just love the fact that we kick off the section every week with this now, the EDM champion question of the week. And there's no better way to start it than with this question because I've been dying to talk about it. So this was sent in anonymously. But the question is, what can we expect out of the return. I love that because it's true. It's the re-return. Return part two of Swedish House Mafia.
The return.
I think there's going to be a re-return. I think there's going to be another one after this. I swear, that's my prediction, is that I think they're going to have kind of some type of breakup thing again.
Oh.
And they're going to come back for We're Back, Baby, part three or something like that. Like, I will have to say, man, I haven't been able to do too much research into this yet because this is, you know, pretty much hot off the printing press, as it will, if you will. So I think we'll need to go back and do a little bit more digging. But jokingly aside, and I meant that kind of facetiously about them having a return.
Right.
I was being a bit sarcastic. I didn't quite mean that. But I could actually see that happening, potentially. If the cynic in me was really thinking, I could see it happening again. But
the cynic in you is coming out. I think the vodka is making me a little cynical right now.
I think so, man. It was a bit bitter to swallow, so I'm feeling a bit bitter in general. So I've got that like aftertaste in my mouth, you know. Because it was Smirnoff, which is not my favorite.
Oh.
So what I see coming from them, you know, is obviously another big tour. They've announced the album, so that will be coming out too. But I could definitely see after the album maybe a couple more EPs, but then I really think what they're going to be focusing on, maybe not necessarily on the new music front, is them starting to invest more time into virtual events. I think there's something that they're going to be doing in the VR realm. Perhaps something is already going on in the works with the Sensorium Galaxy universe that we have just talked about on the prior regular episode, episode 106. So we'll put that in the show notes for you to go back to, as well as the links to these people. But since we've talked about that episode, Charlotte DeWitt has just signed on as well. So they've got Eric Prydz, David Guetta, Charlotte DeWitt. So I could see Swedish House doing something like that. But maybe if they don't want to go, because, you know, look, I mean, that's a disruptor in the scene. They're not as well established, despite the fact that they've got these big name people. They may want to wait a little bit just to see how things are going with that. But I could definitely, definitely, definitely see them, because they are more mainstream, trying to do something with like a Minecraft or a Fortnite.
Interesting. Interesting. Honestly, dude, my mind was not at the virtual events with Swedish House
Mafia. I know
Mafia.
It wasn't. So this is a bit of a bold prediction.
Yeah.
Right? But I could see them just kind of in the sense that they have this, they definitely have some acumen when it comes to mass marketing, right? And getting hype up in the masses. And the people who seem to kind of share that ability to commercialize their music without overdoing it are people like Marshmello. Right. And stuff like that. So I could see them kind of going down that route and seeing like, okay, this is a way that we can access the future, as well as really put an emphasis on their production, which is something that, you know, they are very well known for. But then just translating that into the virtual space, that's hard to do. But if they could pull it off, it'd really be very, you know, recognizable and impressionable.
Interesting. Honestly, dude, I am going to go kind of against what you're saying here, because I do think that like the virtual event space would be very interesting for Swedish House Mafia. I don't know if they're going to put like a lot of emphasis into that realm, because I think just based off of the shows that I've seen from them that actually took place as part of this return of Swedish House Mafia, they play so much, you know, they play so much importance of production into their live experiences. And I don't think that VR would ever be able to capture that, right? Obviously, I mean, it's not possible to capture, you know, the amount of production that they put into their shows into a VR world. Like, dude, we've seen the effects of like how they bring the fire out, the three stages that they have set up, you know, like the three separate decks, the big rings, all that lighting that they always do. Like, let's take a look at like their comeback show, their first comeback show in a stadium that happened in Sweden, right?
So why is Eric Prydz doing it then?
I think Eric Prydz's team and just like his overall brand is very visually heavy, right? I'm not saying it's effects heavy. I'm saying it's visually heavy. And his visuals would be placed properly live into a VR setting. Obviously, a big part of him is his music as well. I love his music. I'm a fucking fanboy. I'm seeing him 7 times this year. But his visual game is perfectly suited for VR. While I don't think that Swedish House Mafia's visual game is, but the effects that they bring to their live shows are absolutely next level.
But see, I think you might be missing the point here. I think it's about, of course, they really care about the production side of things, but they seem to be people that want to be seen as being on the cutting edge, right? And so I think that's where it will fall into them in terms of their plan, is that this is going to be considered cutting edge stuff. So I agree with you. Like, I understand the importance of production, and, you know, to date, they've been much more of a, you know, in-person live event thing.
Right.
However, I just see them kind of looking at the next chapter of Swedish House and being like, well, we've kind of done it all already. You know, we played the biggest shows. We sold out the biggest stadiums. Hmm. We've gotten the biggest hits. Where to next? And then we're going to be talking about another song, but there's just a drastic kind of change in their production sound for some of their original songs that they're working on without, you know, guest type of people. And maybe that's taking some influences from people like Josephelstein, who did kind of a very interesting mix in that last album that he dropped, right, where he had big name people on and kind of more radio ready hits with some of his like darker techno and electro. Right. But then creating an experience and in, you know, an in-person live experience. But I could see Swedish House saying we want to do that, but take it to the next level and try into the virtual realm. Because just for me, it's like if you're in their position, what else are you going to do that sure. you haven't done?
Yeah.
Like what other area is there for them to tackle? And I just feel like they wouldn't feel satisfied yeah. if they just came back to drop an album and they were like, peace, that's it. We'll do a couple tours. And there you go.
That is so interesting, Alec. I mean, I love everything that you're saying because I love that mindset that you're in about like, what more can they do because they've really accomplished it all. So your reasoning totally makes sense there. I mean, we'll just have to wait and see. You know, we already talked about brand new album. We just got two singles that came out and we talked about the first one. We're going to talk about the second one in just a little bit. So let's keep an eye. I mean, this is a really exciting time for EDM right now. It's really cool to see them back. And it's really cool to see them dropping tracks that are just so different from what they used to drop.
Yes.
Yeah.
I couldn't agree more. Couldn't agree more, man.
All right, Alec. Let's go. Let's head over to Spain. We're going to Ibiza. What is going on the island? Why are people pissed off? What's going on? Let's hear it.
Well, first of all, I appreciate your pronunciation
there. I'm trying. I'm an American.
Good job, man.
I'm an American man, okay? I have a very thick American accent. So it's sometimes it's hard for me to do that little lisp. On the Z in Ibiza.
I you know, man, we still got to go there. Speaking of which, we've never... I know. We've got to go there. But if we go, we shouldn't be going to any illegal underground parties because people are starting to get a little bit pissed off about it, okay? So listen to this, EDM champions. We've got Jose Luis Benitez. He's head of an organizational body there that represents Ibiza's nightlife on the island for especially, you know, involving dance music events, obviously, since that's the primary thing that goes on there in terms of parties and nightlife. But he's basically saying that they need to do something about the amount of illegal shows going on. And when we say illegal shows, what does it mean? So from the little bit that he said publicly, it seems like there are these shows that go on in these tourist, you know, big size mansions, like these private parties that, you know, before used to be maybe someone with an aux cord or and a nice speaker or someone who rented the house having a little, you know, mix board. It's just their friends. But now they're starting to turn into, you know, these mansions are being essentially turned into like private event hosting with professional equipment and DJs who might be out of the, you know, the friend circle who rented the mansion or, you know, even are friends with them. And to the point where I'm assuming this is becoming almost like ticketed type of events where it's like guest list only, where they're promoting it to people outside of their immediate friend circle. So it just seems like this is on the rise, or at least in accordance to what he was saying. But really, the primary reasoning from his end that he does not want this to continue is just there's a severe lack of regulation when it comes to the events, right? Especially health and safety. And I think in the aftermath of COVID, I think this might be spurring maybe some more, you know, talks of enforcement when it comes to these types of parties, just because of the fact that, you know, as an island, it's quite isolated. Someone comes over with COVID, people aren't vaccinated. It can spread quite quickly there. And again, I think just this whole year and a half to 2 years of, you know, basically a shutdown, health and public health has really come more to the forefront. And so I think they're thinking about this in a new way.
I think also a big part of this, Alec, is that they're trying to clamp down on these illegal parties because Spain is still having a difficult time with COVID in general. And so, you know, a lot of these people are coming in, right? And right now the clubs in Ibiza, I'm not exactly sure how they're operating, but I'm sure that there are restrictions in place, like, you know, social distancing, mask wearing, all this happening in Ibiza, like temperature checks, you know, all that stuff, COVID vaccination checks. But when it comes to these illegal parties happening in these big mansions, those standards and those measures are not in place. And so what Jose Luis Benitez is proposing here, he's proposing that if people are playing at these illegal parties, or if they're working at these illegal parties, like, you know, bartending drinks or whatever, if they're working in any sort of capacity at these parties, those same people should not be allowed to work in normal venues or facilities when they reopen at full capacity. So essentially, right, basically saying like DJs who play these legal parties, that's part of it, or waiters or waitresses or whoever, they should not be allowed to play at the regular venues in Ibiza when things start to open up properly again.
Right. And that is the enforcement mechanism, yeah, for basically saying you shouldn't really be having these parties. So, you know, it really does seem to me that this is one of the only ways that they feel that they can start enforcing this beyond just the police level. Because
that's right.
Because even, you know, he did say that the police has been doing a fantastic job.
Yep.
But there's always only going to be so much you can do, especially on a party island, right? There's only so many places that these people could be once, you know. And it's also just, you know, if a lot of people are participating in this, you're probably not going to get a call in. So you're not going to know it's going on. So this is probably one of the only deterrent, enforcement methods that he could have to potentially drive down the amount of illegal raves going on the island. But I'd be very interested to see kind of the flip side to this, right? What the story is from the people who are putting these shows and events on, right? Or they might not call it shows and events. So these,
that's right.
Shindigs.
The shindigs. Little shindigs. Gatherings of friends.
Exactly. Like, I'd love to hear more from their perspective on it, because, you know, I'd be remiss without kind of nodding the point of my hat to, in the UK, is that there's a lot of illegal nightlife activities going on there. And that's always been quite a big part of the culture for various different reasons. Not saying I'm endorsing any of them, but it's a big part of the culture nonetheless. And I imagine that it's growing and being a part of the culture in Ibiza. And there's always reasons outside of just, you know, oh, they want to make money and don't have to pay for regulation. There's much more to it than that. So I would love to hear also, but you know, the other side to this story.
Absolutely, man. Absolutely. I mean, you know, I think the problem is, like, a lot of these places have been in lockdown for what, a year, 4 months plus, and in some areas in this world, it's getting worse. You know, I just looked up Spain's COVID case rate, and it's actually on a trajectory of going up, which is very concerning. And so they're trying to clamp down on that behavior, but also at the same time, just humans being humans, they're getting tired of all these restrictions that have been placed on them, right? I mean, I think it's natural to feel that way. And so they're trying to find ways to kind of skirt around that. Not saying that's right. And, it's just what's happening. It's the current situation, if you will. So we're going to keep an eye on this, man. I mean, I'm really actually very interested to see what this council in Ibiza does about, you know, potentially banning people who play or work at these illegal parties from coming back to regular venues when they reopen at full capacity. So we'll have to keep an eye. I mean, COVID has just changed the way that people look at one another and what they deem is acceptable. And I think it's just a very interesting time from like a human to human sort of like what is morally, what is right and what is wrong. A lot of people are having disagreements about what they should be doing, what they should not be doing.
Yeah, it's interesting. It's become a moral question now, when it perhaps was initially and maybe objectively in real reality, it's one of science. So I think it's very interesting how there's now the moral layer added to it. And that's definitely a topic for separate discussion, because I think that's something that's going to be very much at the forefront of the music scene moving forward. But on that note of things moving forward, and this is a bit of a brighter topic here, the new, is it SoFi?
SoFi. You got it.
The new, see, there you go. I finally got one. I love that. I gotta give myself a pat on the back for that. Nice.
I'm so glad you didn't say Sophie. I was actually getting kind of concerned that you're going to pronounce it Sophie.
Like, well, it's the sister stadium of SoFi. Right. It's Sophie. But SoFi Stadium, which has just recently been built, hosted Cascade, who then brought on as a special surprise guest, Deadmau5. Can you believe that, man? I mean, I'm so jealous of all the people that were able to attend that, because that must have been an awesome event to go see. And then beyond that, just from the pictures in this one article, which we'll have in the link in the show notes, it just looks like it's an amazing time.
Absolutely, man. And I just want to also quickly shout out Dombreski, who opened before
Dombreski.
That's right. So it was, I'm sure they had like a local opener. I haven't been able to look that up just yet, but shout out to them as well. Dombreski, Deadmau5, Cascade played for 2 hours to end the night. And what's so cool, Alec, and I just want to point this out, because we saw this happen in Las Vegas as well with Allegiant Stadium, but the first concert at Allegiant Stadium was Illenium at his Trilogy show. The first concert at this brand new stadium in Los Angeles, SoFi Stadium, was Cascade. This is a big fucking deal, man. I love to see that dance music events and dance music in general, the demand for it is at such a high place that these artists are able to get into these massive brand new stadiums and be able to fill up enough seats in order to pay and cover the cost, and especially be the first act in these brand new stadiums that cost millions upon tens upon hundreds of millions of dollars to build. It's incredible.
It is incredible. And just to be clear, this is for the Rams and the Chargers, right?
That's correct.
NFL teams are playing. Are they both sharing the stadium?
I believe they are, yeah.
Yeah, so it's interesting how they're sharing a stadium still again. But it's funny, right, that there's they see these new NFL stadiums, and maybe it's not just restricted to NFL, but it might be just because the sheer size of the fan base with some of these teams, right? How that's also being conducive to these massive, you know, electronic dance music events. And you know, man, too, I feel like it's even more interesting than the fact that these teams are seeing electronic dance music as a good way to start, you know, monetizing the stadium and getting people excited about the stadium and everything that they built there and what it can do. But I think what's very interesting is that they see EDM as being fitting for consecrating the grounds of these stadiums. Legion, right? Big stadium there too.
That's right.
And now this one as well. So I think there's something about the relationship between the dance music sector and the NFL, right? Or rather, maybe not even so much the NFL, because this isn't an NFL organized event, but at least the cities that are building NFL sized stadiums. There's kind of a relationship that I think is developing there that's very interesting that I don't think that we've seen happen before, right? Like that there's almost, they understand that there's a mutually beneficial relationship to be had there. And we're also seeing just in general, and this is where I think the NFL may come more into play, or big networks like ESPN, we're starting to see electronic dance music being used in the promo for and the hype up material for big sporting events, not just in the NFL, but also in the NBA. So I think this is a very interesting relationship that is being developed. And I'm really interested to see where it's going to go, because on the surface, I think it kind of just makes sense. But I think beneath it, there's a little bit more, you know, interplay and a relationship building that we may not give people credit for.
That's right, man. And again, really excited about this. I think this is just really showing the health of the dance music scene in the U.S. And honestly, just really quick, what an honor it is for people like Illenium and Cascade to be the first artist of any genre. We're talking any genre. Pop. Top 40, whatever. They're the first artists to ever play these stadiums. And it's really, really cool to see. Real quick, I just want to tell you some of the events that this stadium is going to be hosting in the future, all right?
Oh, let's hear it.
Super Bowl, all right? WrestleMania, Summer Olympics, and that's just to name a few of some of these events that SoFi Stadium is going to be hosting. So really, really exciting stuff here. And big shout out to Cascade. I mean, if there's any artists in this scene that could just bring a smile to people's faces. Clearly, we've been seeing a lot of videos from over the weekend. So very, very excited to see that. And EDM champions, if you're there at that show, definitely send your videos and pictures our way, because we want to see what you were up to over there, you know? And real quick, 100%. If you want to get in touch with us, Instagram at btb.pod and Twitter is at podbtb. Perfect place to say what up. Send us your pictures. Send us some love and we'll send you some back. Alec. Let's love go, that. Baby. We got some updates over here. That. What's going on?
We do have some big updates. So in case you haven't heard, we just released an amazing artist spotlight and session with Martin Hauger, the king of Feel Good Bass House. That was an amazing chat. Seriously. Oh,
he's such a great dude.
Such a great chat. I mean, there are some funny fucking moments in that conversation. So I highly implore you EDM champions, if you have not listened to it, to take a listen to that episode, not just because there are funny stories about his time playing in Russia, but also just he gave such phenomenal and concise advice to people who are working in the music industry, but just anybody going through kind of a creative rut. So if you need a little bit of inspiration, if you need a little bit of feel good vibe, definitely take a listen to that episode. In the show notes, I will have a link to it so you can listen to it. And then secondly, you also got to check out the session. We play the session at the beginning of the Artist Spotlight, but we would very much appreciate it if you really like this mix to go on to SoundCloud and favorite or like that song and repost it to your network, because it's a phenomenal mini mix and it's original onlys. We have an ID slapped in there, but it's all Martin Horger, baby, in that mix. So if you want to get a taste of what he's like, this is one of the best ways to do it.
Love that, dude. Love that. Then next week, I can't wait to talk about this with you again,
so
dude.
Excited.
The
so
2021 excited. IMS Ibiza report. Saying that shit properly. You already know. We're really excited to jump into that with you all because that's a perfect place to get a pulse of what's going on in the EDM scene all around the world from a music, business, and culture perspective. So look out for that starting next week.
Perfect, man. We're going to keep this rolling because we've got new EDM champions tuning in every single week. So first of all, what's up? How are you doing? Welcome to the show. And since they haven't been a part of the show before, if there's been anybody who, you know, maybe got a head injury, they don't really remember what's going on,
we
why
you're
they're
okay.
listening to this. We hope you're okay, first of all. But we're also going to here to gently remind you of some of the things that you probably should remember. So my friend, what should they remember about this next section, the what are we listening to?
Here on Beyond the Beats, we have our very own unique rating scale, and it ranges from levels 1 through 5. Level 1 is what we call one listen. It's where you listen to a track and you're probably never ever going to listen again, but you're encouraging other people to give it a listen. Level 2 is what we call background noise. It's when a song comes on, it's playing in the background, you're not going to really do anything with it, you might be doing other things, you're not too bothered by it, but it's there to keep you company. Level 3 is what we call turn it up. It's when a song comes on, you grab the volume knob and you turn it up. Level 4 is what we call just bought tickets. It's when you listen to a piece of music, you listen to an artist, and you immediately look up the next time that they're coming to your town and you gotta buy those tickets. And level 5 is speechless. It's just you and the music. The song transports you into another world and literally leaves you speechless. So to recap, level 1 is one listen, level 2 is background noise, level 3 is turn it up, level 4 is just bought tickets, and level 5 is speechless. Let's get back to it.
Alec, what are you feeling right now? Where do you want to start? Let's go.
It's like, where's the vibe taking me to start off first? You know, let's do a little Rufus Du Sol, baby.
Whoa.
Because I've been listening to them quite a lot recently, and I used to be, if correct me if I'm wrong here, but you've got a bit of a hot take, I think.
I got
on
some
a new
hot
song
takes
from them. I think you got a hot take on them. So EDM champions, without further ado, Rufus Du Sol just dropped a new track called Alive, and Samir has a hot take on it. So let's take a listen and get his thoughts.
God, I feel like you've just like, I don't know. I feel nervous now to give my thoughts here, man, because I don't know what it is, dude. I don't know. And, you know, I'll have to say this. Forgive me in advance because I'm really not a huge Rufus Du Sol fan. Like, I know. I feel like I'm literally the only person on this planet that feels that way, okay? Because I see, you know, everybody's like, yo, have you heard of Rufus Du Sol? Yo, they're touring. You bought tickets yet? Yo, have you seen that Joshua Tree set?
Which is incredible. It's amazing. Yeah, it's one of the most wonderful sets I've seen.
Yeah, I've seen the set, okay? It was all right. It was all right.
Dude,
it was okay.
What's your problem, man?
Like, I like the vibe that they have, but their sound, just it hasn't really drawn me in just yet. And I can really dig, like, their analog style. Like, I love the synths. I love the organic instruments. I think it's really, really dope. Like, The three of them as a band, they really are interesting people who are trying some new things, and it's really catching on quickly, and it's really neat to see. However, the vocalists in Rufus Du Sol, I'm not a fan of. I don't know why, but like Zoo, his voice just does not hit for me ever. So this is another one of those tracks where I thought like the instruments and the instrumental part of it was just beautiful, but the voice just kind of did not get me there to get excited about them. So Alec, this track Alive by Rufus Du Sol, not for me, but let's get your thoughts, my friend. I know you've been really on them. So let's hear it.
You know, man, it's okay. I can forgive you for your thoughts and feelings about Rufus Du Sol. Certainly everyone has their own opinions, and you're in a minority, so it's okay. The rest of the world.
I'm a minority in the minority, so I'm a double I'm a double minority.
Wow, I sound like a dick after that comment. I'm gonna move on very quickly. So Rufus Du Sol, I'm a big, big fan of them, and I thought this song was really well done. The production was sound, it was crisp, It was clean. Thought they did a good job. The guy's vocals in it. I say the guy, I'm so sorry. I forget his name right now. I'm blanking on it. He has a very interesting, you know, kind of vocal pattern, right? And just a way of singing. He does have a very interesting way. And I think, to be perfectly honest, it might not work with a lot of other sounds, but with Rufus the Soul sound, they've really figured out how to make it work. And I think it really shines. But I think in this song, where a lot of their prior big songs have been, you know, quite heavily focused on, you know, really bringing up his voice and adding in some layers of really intricately done percussion and just sound design overall in the production, I feel like this just felt a little bit too samey, and it just elevated his vocals a little bit too much to the point where I was like, I'm not sure if this sounds so great. So it was catchy, and there are times where I'm like, I really am enjoying this track, particularly when it was going to the production only parts of this track. But otherwise, I was kind of like, I'm not sure if the voice is working as well, if that makes any sense with it. I was like, I thought this was good, but it wasn't like anything that was breathtaking, which is something that you usually get with a lot of Rufus the Soul tracks. I have very high expectations when critiquing their music. So I will say that I think I'm coming off a bit more harsh than actually my, you know, how I really feel about this song. It's just, I really want to see some of these big name acts pushing the envelope on new songs. And I feel like this song didn't quite do that. It just sounded a little bit too similar to stuff they've done before.
Interesting, man. I can tell how conflicted you are.
There's a confliction in me. You can hear it, right? I'm very conflicted. This would be perfect for decibel places, but you know, we're not doing that.
Yeah, fuck your decibel places, dude. So I'm really excited to actually get your rating into this in just a little bit. But EDM Champions, like we had kind of teased a little bit at the beginning of this episode, we did get one more Swedish House Mafia song. And we thought this would be a really interesting song to bring down to the What Are We Listening To section, because we wanted to get a little bit more in depth with this one and give you our thoughts and our rating. So without further ado, Swedish House Mafia, their first single back in almost 10 years, was released last Friday. It's called It Gets Better. Take a listen. Let me love you.
Man, this is an interesting song. I've talked a lot on this podcast about not pushing the envelope on things. However, this is one that really does, because it's very, very different from the sounds and the style that made Swedish House Mafia blow up on the international stage. I like it. I do. I really like this song, man. I've seen some people on Twitter and just people that I've talked to in the industry who feel a little bit conflicted, like they're not really sure what the philosophy or the driving philosophy was behind the production on this, especially in the drops where they thought things were a little bit all over the place. But I have to kind of disagree with them with this. I thought it was really... Well, okay, let me state that back, actually. I don't entirely disagree with them because I see where they're coming from. It's not necessarily the most cohesive song in terms of building a world or building a story. It's not the most cohesive in terms of, you know, there being a general flow and a theme that the song is following, because it kind of just throws stuff at you, throws different elements at you, right? Changes up the beat a little bit here and there. But I thought the production was done so well, and I thought it was still very rhythmic in terms of its design, that it kept me really involved with the song, you know? And I could totally see this being a great intro song for them to be playing. So I was actually really about the song, and when I listened to it, you know, a couple more times over, it does grow on me even more so. So I'm actually very impressed that they decided to take this risk by going a darker, you know, path than they're usually used to with their productions. And I think it's really paid off. And I think that, as we talked about before, Samir, particularly you were bringing up these excellent points about the production. I feel like this is a song that is just ready to be enhanced by awesome production effects.
I'm really excited about how excited you are about this track, because I think I'm equally as excited. I just said excited like a bunch of times. We should definitely be taking some shots for that.
I think so.
But I just want to start by saying that, you know, seeing Swedish House Mafia put out new music is a great signal for everyone to witness. This is a really big fucking deal, okay? These three have revolutionized EDM and its popularity, unlike any other. All right. To have this song now, almost 10 years later, after their you know, recent release, or after their breakup, or whatever you want to call it. I mean, it is dramatically different. And I think that turned off a lot of people. People who were expected to hear tracks like, you know, Save the World, Greyhound, all those sorts of songs, they're going to be disappointed with this one. But I think we also need to realize this is a new chapter for Swedish House Mafia. Where they were once focused on like powerful synths and vocals, they take that same care into hard-hitting percussion. And that is what really stands out in this track, all right? I mean, yeah, you know, you got some light synth work here. You got a vocal sample, you know. It gets better, baby. It's really catchy. It's fun. It's fun to listen to.
Very catchy.
But man, dude, those kicks, you know, that percussion, that cowbell, all that hits so perfectly. And it really works for me. I'm really excited about this new direction. It's cool to hear them get this dark in their music, because I just was not expecting them to do so. However, I do want to say that I prefer the version of this track with Pharrell when it was still an ID. But I know I got to suspend, you know, how I feel about that track when it comes to thinking about this song, because this is the official release. But nonetheless, really, really interesting take from Swedish House Mafia, and it's signaling a new style, a new direction for them. And I think we should all get very excited about it, even if this first single that they released was not necessarily one that was enjoyed by all. All right, Alec, let's get right into this, baby, okay? We're going to go right into the top here. Rufus the Soul, brand new track called Alive. What is your official Beyond the Beats rating, man? Give it to me straight.
Rufus the Soul, I'm going to give you a level 3 out of 5. Just turn it up. Because nice. You know what, man? After I have listened to this song a couple more times, I do feel myself going for the volume knob to kind of turn it up and just appreciate the sounds of Rufus the Soul. So you know what? They kind of won me over. I know I've been a bit negative on it. But I do say, I will say though, I want to see them pushing the envelope a little bit more and things. So maybe my ratings further on down the line won't be as favorable if they don't.
You know, I'm currently, honestly, this is a great opportunity to have decimals. You know, I'm currently in between like one listen and background noise. But if I'm being honest with myself, I'm going to go with background noise. You know, this song isn't so bad where I would never pick it up again. But, you know, if it's playing, somebody throws it on, I'm like, all right, I'll let them have their song, even though I may not enjoy it. You know, so.
You'll ask them to skip like 2 minutes into the song.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, can we go? What's on the queue? Can we go to the next one?
Exactly. Exactly, bro. All right, let's move on. Here we go. Swedish House Mafia, It Gets Better. What are your thoughts?
All right, I'm feeling optimistic. Let's go for level 4 out of 5, just bought tickets.
Very nice.
Because you know what? When I hear this, it does make me want to buy tickets. Yeah. Right? This might be one of the only ratings where I might be going back on kind of my, you know, stringent rule principle-based rating scales here, because in a vacuum of this song, it wouldn't necessarily make me be like, oh, I have to go see them. It wouldn't. But taking into consideration the fact that Swedish House Mafia coming back, and this is a song that's in a new direction for them, it really makes me want to go check them out live. So this song, congratulations to Swedish House Mafia, has pushed me to buy tickets, so long as they're below $300, since they're quite expensive. So there is a bit of a, you know, kind of a little red herring there, but I still will go see them live.
Totally, man. And I'm right there with you, bro. This is level 4 out of 5. Just bought tickets for me as well. You know, as much as I enjoyed the ID version of this track, this song in itself is still very, very interesting to listen to. And it signals a massive shift for Swedish House Mafia that I feel like really needs to be witnessed in the context of a full set. And the only way you're going to get that, baby, is if you buy those tickets. So let's go. I'm buying those tickets with you, Alec.
Fantastic. Fantastic. But dude, here we are, the final section of the Beyond the Beats podcast experience. Ladies and gentlemen, EDM champions, welcome to the Artists We're Watching section, where we will put two fantastic up and coming artists on your radar.
Oh,
and I'll
yeah.
tell you what, man, I'm excited. So I'm just going to go ahead and kick it off this week. I'm not even gonna
Let's
ask.
Go. Yeah,
I don't care if I went first last time, because ladies and gentlemen, EDM champions of the globe, I've got someone very interesting to put onto your radars this week. So this was a song and an artist that was recommended internally within the Beyond the Beats team. Shout out to everybody doing such great work behind the scenes of the show. Just a quick little shout out there. But especially to CJ. He managed to put on my radar someone who is absolutely phenomenal. This guy is going to go all the way. His talents are incredible. His genre bending
inspiration infusing productions just really make my jaw drop and hit the floor. I thought I broke my jaw last week when I was listening to this track, man, because I went absolutely bonkers when I played it. Ladies and gentlemen, EDM Champions, without further ado, take a listen to the sounds of Chris Elwick with his track Codex Omen.
Love this pick. All right, man.
Hell yeah.
Everything about this song is just absolutely insane, man. You know what I really love is that, like, that ow, baby! Like, that little, like, sample right there. That is, like, the best integration of that sample that I've ever heard.
Isn't it, though? It's incredible. I mean, just, the guy's so creative.
So good.
It's incredible, right? It's just truly, truly miraculous, honestly. It's miraculous what he's able to do in the production studio. It's unbelievable, man. Sorry, I didn't mean to cut off your thoughts.
No, you're good. You're good.
Because I'm so pumped up about
it. Right now, I can just feel the energy radiating from you. You're in Michigan, I'm in San Diego, and I feel it. I feel it right now, dude, because the you know, everything about this track is just absolutely immaculate, so well done, and this is what the future of bass music sounds like, okay? You know, like, you know, you listen to a bass track, you listen to a dubstep track, and it's just like the same thing over and over and over again. Not in this case, okay? Switch-ups all around. I mean, this guy, all right, Chris Elwick, even threw in some psytrance in this track as well.
Isn't it bonkers, man? He's the king of switch-ups. He's the king of switch-ups.
Who does that? Chris Elwick does that, and that's why I'm a really big fan of this pick from you this week, man. Nice stuff over here.
Thank you, sir. Thank you so much,
dude. All right, let's keep it going. EDM Champions, I gotta apologize to you all, okay? Because I have been a very good member of our community. You know, one thing that we pride ourselves in here at Beyond the Beats is presenting a diverse array of sounds, especially when it comes to the underground. I've been on a big house music and chill tunes kick lately, and I need to show some love to our trap heads and bass lovers. So I'm keeping that energy going, baby.
Hell yeah, here we go.
Move the fuck over, NSYNC, Backstreet Boys, 5 Seconds of Summer, whoever, all right? Because the next hot thing in boy bands is right here. I'm talking about the trio Xotix, spelled X-O-T-I-X. So instead of making you cry in an audience with songs about heartbreak or how beautiful you are, they're going to make you feel ugly. I'm talking really ugly. That face you're going to make on this drop is going to be permanent. So listener beware, that shit isn't going anywhere. And I'm really proud to present the sounds of Xotix with their track Paper Step. Take a listen.
Welcome back to the bass music scene,
it's
baby.
Good to be here, baby.
Welcome back, and it's great to have you back with us, and wow, what a pick. I'm obsessed with this pick as well, man. Absolutely obsessed. I have to know, because I actually don't know this story. How do you even come across this? Like, what even pushed you to start listening to some more bass music again?
Dude, you know, I was actually scrolling through Excision's Subsidia compilation, and one of their tracks was on it, and I, you know, favored them, and I followed them, and I was like, I'm gonna keep an eye on what these fellas are up to. Three guys, they call themselves like a boy band. It's really, really funny.
That's
actually
awesome. I love that.
And this track came out, it's their most recent release, and as soon as I heard it, I was like, okay, it's time. Paper Step, absolute banger. And what I love about them is that it's just like a bunch of different styles in trap kind of coming together, And it's just, it's so expertly done because I think the three of them kind of come from their own musical projects and then they all came together to form this trio. And their music, I think, is a really fair representation and manifestation of all their styles combined. And it's really, really cool because it's fun. It switches up on you. And that's what I love about bass music. It's constantly moving. And these foos right here, Zotix, are a culmination of that.
Wow, man. Wow. What a way to re-enter the bass music scene, man. So thank you so much for that. And just thank you all, EDM champions, for continuing to listen to us babble and ramble on this podcast. It truly means the world to us, and it just means a lot to hear all of your feedback. So if you really have anything to let us know, just please reach out to us. Again, once more, Instagram, that's at btb.pod, and on Twitter we're at podbtb. And I'm even now starting to delve a little bit more into the Twitter verse, the Twitter world myself, so definitely give me a follow and shoot me a DM. It's at alexworld.
Love it, man. Thank you so much for plugging all that. EDM champions, this is an amazing time right now in dance music, and you all are witnessing it take place right here, right now. All right? Be a member of this community. Get involved in conversations. Share music with your friends. If you're feeling up for it, share this show with your friends. That's the best way to help the Beyond the Beats community grow. And above all, always remember that music is a force that connects us all. And that's what's so special about EDM. We'll see everybody next week for episode 109. But until then, be safe, stay well, peace.